Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, the Apostle Paul ended chapter 4 by saying in verse 16, this is how he closed out chapter 4. Verse 16, he said, "For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Even though our outward man is perishing, and he is, isn't he? Our inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," and I'd be the first to acknowledge, we live in a hard world. This is a hard life. But every single time we enter into eternity, buddy, this is a light affliction. And it's just for a moment. And verse 17 says, "It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen." And we don't, do we? Not with our eyes of faith. We don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. "For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal." Now let's read the first 9 verses of chapter 5. "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." All right, now, in order to explain this, I understand I'm starting with quite a few verses. In order to explain this, let me show you what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn over there with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." If you are a child of God, there is something reserved in heaven for you. That's exciting. If you are a child of God, there is something reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5 says, "You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Every child of God who has been kept by the power of God has an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, one that cannot fade away. It is reserved in heaven, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, what that means is we haven't laid hands on it yet. That's what it means. It's reserved for us. It's ready to be revealed to us, but we won't physically lay hands on it until we're there with our Lord. All right? Now, what is it that our Lord has waiting for us, reserved in heaven for us? Go back to the text. 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have an building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." We are souls. All right? We are not bodies. We are souls. We just live in bodies. That's all we do. We just live in bodies. I've given you this illustration many times, but I can't think of a better way to get our minds around this. This is the best way I know to do it. Okay? I'm a person. I'm a character. You know me. You know how I am. I have thoughts about things. I have feelings about things. I'm me, right? I'm me. If you were to cut off my arm, I am still me. I still have my same thoughts. I still have my same feelings. I'm still me. And you cut off this arm, I'm still me. And you cut off both legs, and you literally cut off every piece of my body that you could, and it would still function. My heart would still beat, and I could still function in this earth. I would still be me. We are souls and not bodies. My soul is moving this body, animating this body. Okay? We are souls and not bodies. Now, the time is going to come when the earthly house that we right now live in, it's going to have to be dissolved. It is appointed unto man for his earthly house to be dissolved. That's appointed. All men and women. But for God's people, as soon as their earthly house is dissolved, their soul goes right back to God who gave it. Isn't that what the scripture says? It immediately goes right back to the God who gave it, and it enters into a building, a tabernacle, a house that is incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. Is that not glorious? Is that not exciting? It cannot fade away. Go with me over to John 14. John 14. Verse 1 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." What does he mean, many mansions? He's talking about the new house reserved in heaven. for each one of His people. He said, a body hast thou prepared me. Isn't that right? He said, I'm going to prepare one for you. As soon as this tabernacle, and the word tabernacle means tent. If you look it up, it means tent. As soon as this tent is dissolved, we immediately step into and start enjoying the mansion that Christ has built for us. Now, I love how he made this comparison. He calls this body a tent. And he called the body that's reserved for us in heaven a mansion. A year ago, June, almost a year and a half ago. Hannah and I and the girls went camping for 2 nights. The girls were sleeping with Pawpaw and me, Mom, in the camper. Hannah and I were sleeping in a tent outside. We were supposed to sleep in a tent for 2 nights. We made it 1 night, and made it is loosely. All right? 1 night. That's all I could stand. It was absolutely awful. I mean, it was awful. I am serious. It was so bad. It was so miserable. I did not sleep that night. And I could give you so many reasons why. It wasn't just one reason why. So many reasons why. The whole time I was laying there thinking, I kept looking at my phone to see what time it is. And I think, you're kidding me. You know, at first it was like, surely we're done. And it's 12:45 in the morning. You know, and then you lay there and you lay there and you're not sleeping. And, you know, time creeps by. I was as they that watch for the morning, just begging, surely, come on. But all I could think about was my house. I was thinking, what am I doing out here? It's not that I didn't want to be camping, you know, and it's not that I didn't want to be with everybody else. I just kept thinking, I have a house. What am I? I paid for this. I paid money for this. I have a nice, beautiful, solid, comfortable, cozy, warm house. And I'm out here sleeping on gravel. Literally, they made these pads to park the campers. And it's a gravel area. And my mattress deflated. And I'm heavier than Hannah. So she's up, you know, 2 inches. I'm on the gravel. And it was miserable. And I'm thinking, I'm out here on this gravel. I just want out of this tent. That's all I kept saying. I just want out of it. If it would just become morning, then I could get up. I just want out of this tent. That's what I want. Out of this tent. All right, go with me back to the text. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. How much longer do I have to be here in this tent? How much longer? This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying. In Romans 7, he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Please deliver me from the body of this death. I'm so ready to be rid of it. Verse 2 says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. This house that Christ has built, this mansion, he calls it, that he's prepared, it is the robe of his righteousness. That's what it physically is. It is the same perfect, spotless robe that he wears. That we're going to be clothed on with this new house. David said in Psalm 17, verse 15, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'm so ready. That same righteousness that Christ wears. We just want to look like Him. We just want to step into the purity that He's reserving for us. He has all of this spotless purity reserved for us to put on. He earned it. He gave it. And we desire to experience it. We're ready to experience it. Verse 3 says, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. Here's one thing that is very important to understand. God's people don't just desire to be unclothed. They don't just desire to be rid of this house. When you speak of these things, others think, why do you want to die? Why do you just want to die? I just can't wait to die. Won't that be great? Let's all just die. That's not it at all. That's not the point at all. To say that we are ready to be rid of this body and the life that is lived on this earth is the exact opposite of saying we're ready to die. Paul said, who's going to rid me of the body of this death? No child of God wants to die. No child of God. Not one child of God wants to die. Verse 4 says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality. That word means death. You've heard of the mortality rate. That's the death rate. That mortality, death, might be swallowed up of life. Death is just completely swallowed up of life. The reason we groan and desire to leave this body of corruption and step into our eternal body of incorruption is because we are ready to live. We are so ready to live. Go with me to Philippians 1. Philippians 1 verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I know not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. The Apostle Paul was called up to the third heaven. He saw life. He saw what incorruption looks like. And he said, I'm so torn. I'm so torn. He said, I love you. I do. And I know that I need to be here for you. I need to deliver God's word to you. And I want to be here to do that. But I'm ready to go. I'm ready. I saw what a man's mouth can't utter, and I'm ready. God's people are not morbid. They're not morbid, not at all. No desire for death at all. Ready for life. Go back to the text, 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 1 says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, the down payment, the promise of His Spirit. Just listen to this. You know these verses. This is 1 John 3, verses 1 to 3. John said, Beloved, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then he said, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Every man or woman that has this hope, this particular hope of being chosen of God, chosen to receive the inheritance, bought by Christ, redeemed, made pure, made worthy by Christ to receive the inheritance. Every soul whose hope is in the fact that it's of him, by him, through him, to him. Every soul that has this hope freely given, then that is the promise. That's the earnest of God that the inheritance is to you. That's the earnest of the Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 6 says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Faith is looking to Christ. Faith is looking to Christ, and God's people do. We walk through this life looking to Christ. That's what we do. We look to Christ. We talk to him in prayer. We worship a person, don't we? We talk to him in prayer. We think on him. We worship him. We wait on him. We follow him. We love him. We study him. Don't we want to know more of him? We desire to be like him. We desire to be with him. We know that through the earnest of his Spirit, we are with him and he's with us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But we also know that he is right now seated in the heavens. Isn't that where he physically is? As long as we are in this body on earth, we're spiritually with him, but we're physically absent. And we're confident through the earnest of his Spirit, through his Spirit speaking to us and revealing this to us, that to be absent from this body is to be immediately present with the Lord. And when I was first studying this, I thought about telling you all, and I didn't. I was going to title it, Your Funeral Message. Just wanted you to hear, go ahead and hear Your Funeral Message. So you could know what's going to be, if I'm still alive, you know, if the Lord takes you before me. And if he takes me, would somebody preach this chapter right here? This is your funeral message. To be absent from this body is to be immediately present with the Lord. He told that thief on the cross, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Today. Today. You think about our dear loved ones, our believers who been called of God and confess Christ. There they are. They lay there and we love them and we sorrow, not as those who have no hope. But what has happened, what we witness in that moment is death has been swallowed up of life. Swallowed up. And verse 9 says right here, 2 Corinthians 5:9 says, wherefore, because of all this, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now, does that mean that we work our way into his acceptance? No, it does not. Absolutely not. But I will tell you that I want to encourage every soul here to labor. I want to encourage every soul here to labor. Now, what do I mean by that? We're going to close with this. Go over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, what was Paul's labor? What was his labor? His labor was to throw away all of his works, count them all dung, throw every single one of them away. He labored to count them all dung that he may know him. Here's what we need to labor at. I want to know him. I want to know him. I don't want to know how a sinner is saved and not be a saved sinner. I remember the first time I heard that, I didn't understand what that meant. I believe I do now. I must know him. I must know him. I must come to know him. I must not come to know what Calvinism is. I must know him. I must know him. I need to know that I have experienced the fellowship of his suffering. I need to know that I experienced the fellowship of his death and the fellowship of his resurrection. I must know him. I need to know him. I can't leave this earth without knowing him. Paul said, I labor in that. Just a few more verses down, he said, press toward the mark. Press toward the mark. And he said, if I have that, I'm going to be accepted of him. That's what he said. I labor to be accepted of him. If he gives me that ability to throw away my works, I need him. I need his death. I need his burial and his resurrection. He said, if I have that, I will be accepted of him, accepted in his blood. And if I'm accepted in the beloved, then I'm going to receive the inheritance. We all will. And until that time comes, until we physically receive what he has wrought for us and he has reserved for us, we'll just keep on groaning. All right? We'll just keep on groaning. The Lord will be with us, but we'll groan for it. And the Word will comfort us, and the Spirit will teach us, and we'll just keep groaning for it until we finally receive it in glory. All right. You're dismissed.